This week, as I reflected on what we've been focused on, who is this Jesus, there were two words, one verse, that came to mind, and it's found in John chapter 11, verse 35. Now, stay there because we're going to be in there, but that verse says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. If you're ever challenged to memorize Scripture, it's the verse you want to pick because it's the easiest, it's the shortest. Jesus wept. But as I reflected this week on what God might want me to share and reflected on the week that I had, this is what came to mind. But in order to kind of understand the significance of it, we need to look at the slightly bigger context. And so look with me at John 11. This is an occasion where Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick and is going to die, and he decides to stay a couple days longer where he is with the disciples, and then he decides that they're going to go, and he's going into an area where they had just recently tried to kill him, and so they're like, Lord, if he's already dead, what's the point? Why are you going to go where they're going to try to kill you again? And yet they go, and so we're going to pick this up at verse 17, John 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, that's significant because for the Jews, they didn't believe that death was legitimate until someone had been dead more than 3 days. So had Jesus gone as soon as he heard and brought Lazarus back, it could have been while he was sleeping. This is bona fide in the Jewish mind, he's dead. He's gone. Okay? On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Why did Jesus weep? Well, the Jews there believed that Jesus was weeping because of how much he loved Lazarus. There in verse 36. Then the Jews said, see how much he loved him. And Jesus did clearly love Lazarus, but that's not why Jesus was weeping, because Jesus knew that Lazarus wasn't going to stay dead. Look back with me at verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Jesus knew that Lazarus wasn't going to stay dead. I mean, if you're in that situation and you know that you are going to cure what's going on. You're going to fix it. You're going to repair it. You're going to bring Lazarus back to dead. You're not weeping because Lazarus is dead, because you know it's not the end of the story. Make sense? Then why was Jesus weeping? Jesus was weeping because of the heartache that floods this broken world like a tsunami. Jesus was weeping because of the grief and tears that overwhelmed Mary and Martha and the others gathered there. Jesus was weeping because of their heartache. And the last I looked, the brokenness and heartache of this world hasn't changed much. Last week, Sam shared his prayer request. He has a buddy in a coma from a motorcycle accident. And just recently, they had to amputate his leg. And Jesus weeps over that. Jesus is still weeping. Yesterday, as Sam and I were out and about, he shared with me about a friend who served on two tours in the Middle East and struggled with PTSD. Shortly after coming home to Indiana, not too long ago, he took his own life. And Jesus weeps. Mary Carolyn and Bob, last few days we've been praying for them because they have a grandson seriously ill with an infection that the doctors were not able to get a handle on or figure out, and they've determined that it is pneumonia. It was very serious. And Jesus weeps. Jack Kimball, most of you know Jack is battling cancer. This week when I talked with Janine, she shared with me, and if you're not familiar, Jack and Janine both lost their spouses, married, and apparently Jack had four adult children and has lost two of them. Jack is battling cancer and has been for a few weeks, and today, this week when I talked with Janine, she said they just found out that one of his other children, a son, I believe out west, Oklahoma, has just been diagnosed with a very acute leukemia and given days or weeks to live. And Jesus weeps. Friday night, we had a wonderful turnout for a meal we did to help raise some funds for Jeffrey Hudelbrink, one of our very own. For 5 years, Jeffrey has battled brain tumors. And tomorrow, he goes in for another surgery. Don't know what the outcome is going to be. Pretty scary stuff. And Jesus weeps. Earlier this week, I learned about a little baby in a nursery at a hospital, been there for nearly a month. Because it's withdrawing from drugs, because its mother tested positive for four different drugs when she gave birth. And Jesus weeps. Again, earlier this week, I was told of a young mother who had just found out that twin baby boys she was pregnant with, 34 weeks pregnant, had just found out that they were dead, was going to have to give birth to them. Before I could get out the door to go check on her, I received a call from nurse in the infusion center who had a mother, a middle-aged gal who was very upset, crying, who had just found out that her daughter, pregnant with twins, had heard that they had died. And so I checked on the young couple. I went and checked on what was mom, grandma, sat with her while she cried, tried to comfort and encourage. And when she was done with her treatment, I walked her to check on her daughter because she was in no condition to get there by herself. And as we're walking, she told me that her mother had come into the hospital the night before. She wasn't even sure what room she was in. And Jesus weeps. Again, earlier this week, a family with a young man who's brain dead made the decision, heartbreaking decision, to pull the plug on life support. Asked me to come in late at night, pray with them before they did that. The young man had made the choice to be an organ donor. And so I stuck around and was there in the hallway when the young man was wheeled off in one direction with the medical team, and the mother tearfully moved in the opposite direction. And I was standing there with Claudette. She's the gal who coordinates the organ donor program. And through tears, she said, 18 years, this never gets any easier. The hardest moment is when the mother walks away. And so she and I walked back to a unit on ICU and was talking with her about her work with organ donating and how difficult that would be. And she shared about an occasion when she had a young man who was killed in a motorcycle accident, was an organ donor, and so it was her responsibility to call the mother. She called the mother, and while talking with the mother, she heard some beeping in the background. And so she asked her, "Are you at a hospital?" Come to find out that that mother, the young man who'd just been killed, was sitting by the bedside of another son who a year earlier to that day was in a motorcycle accident and had been in a coma ever since. And Jesus weeps. Why does God allow all this suffering? Because we were created in a free will world with the chance to disobey Him. Reread Genesis. Adam and Eve were put in paradise, and it was perfect. There was nothing they lacked until they sinned against God. But God could control things more to prevent brokenness. Sure, He could. But how is He supposed to decide which situation, which individual to control more? I mean, ultimately, to be fair, He'd have to control everything. And then we're no longer free, we're puppets. Anybody want to live in the world as a puppet? I don't. Why doesn't God do something about it? He did. He sent Jesus into the world to die on a cross for our sins so that we could have a way to be reconciled and restored into fellowship with God and be rescued from eternal death. And Jesus is right now preparing a place for us to be with Him for all eternity, where there is no brokenness and heartache, there is no disease and death, there are no more tears. Everything will be made perfect as it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Well, why doesn't God do something more right now down here? He is. He comforts us and places His Spirit in us so that we can comfort others. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of His healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. The reality is we live in a broken world. And God never promised that He would step into it and remove all the danger, remove all the harm, remove all the tears. Because that would mean the loss of a free world. What He did promise is that He would prepare a place for us to be with Him one day where all of this will be a distant memory. And in the meantime, in the midst of the heartache and brokenness that we experience, God comes alongside of us to encourage us, to comfort us, to be our strength. And he does that so that we can do that for one another, so that we can share the journey, so that we can be that reflection of hope and peace that only God provides. There is nothing in this world that you can put ultimate hope in. Now, I have to tell you, there are things in this world to be enjoyed. And there are moments in life when those things culminate. And those things began to culminate for me this morning because we've had Sam home for a week, the girls have been home for a week, the boys are done with school, they're starting spring break, and Wednesday we leave for D.C., and Eli and Courtney came today, and they took Schwartz and they left, and I'm starting to get giddy about getting away. You know what I mean? You know that feeling? There are those times when all the forces that go on in this life kind of align in a really wonderful way, and you get giddy and excited. And that's great. Enjoy those. But those moments don't carry you through the difficult times, do they? In the end, we live in a broken world full of heartache. And the only real comfort and peace and hope we have is that this is just the prelude to the bigger story that we'll experience in God's presence when we place our trust in Him. And God is doing something about it now by allowing you and I to come alongside and encourage one another to share the journey, just like we did Friday night with Jeffrey. Can you imagine what a blessing it's going to be to him as he goes through the next few days and struggles with all kinds of emotions, to know that there are people that love and care and gave and support and are praying. For us to be able to offer to others the peace and hope and comfort that come from God, we have to first receive it ourselves. You can't give what you don't have. Right? That's not rocket science. You can't give what you don't have. So I want to just ask you three questions in closing. Are we finding peace in the one who is still on his throne, even though the world seems full of chaos? Are we finding our hope in the one who is creating an eternal home for us, which makes life on this side of the grave just a temporary prelude to the bigger, richer story in his presence? And are we placing our trust in God first above anything this world has to offer? Father, we thank you that in the midst of a broken world full of heartache, that you give us the opportunity to experience just a taste of hope and peace and joy in you, trusting that you understand when our hearts break, your heart breaks. When we weep, you weep. And even though you know that the glory that awaits us when we get to spend eternity with you is going to be more magnificent than anything we can imagine, and that all of the heartache of this life is only temporary, even though you're aware of all of that, when our heart breaks and we weep, Jesus weeps with us because you love us and you care. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.